Title: Dub Chamber Sends Masterclass Without Third-Party Plugins Advanced. Alright, let's build a proper Dub Chamber Send system in Ableton using only stock devices, specifically for drum and bass. This is advanced, but in a fun way. Once it's set up, you stop thinking of reverb and delay as background effects and you start playing the room like it's an instrument. Here's the core idea. A dub chamber isn't just a reverb. It's a return track that behaves like a physical space and a performance tool at the same time. You feed it snares, hats, bass stabs, vocal chops, little FX hits, and then you shape that return so it blooms, saturates, and rhythmically ducks out of the way. The payoff in DNB is huge. You get width and atmosphere, but your drums still punch like they're supposed to. We're building three return tracks. Return A is the main dub chamber. Return B is a tight drum room for glue. Return C is a long dub throw for special moments. Before we touch devices, do a quick workflow setup. Create three return tracks and name them A dub chamber, B drum room, C long dub. Keep your send behavior post fader, which is the default in Ableton, because that keeps your mix balance intuitive. And on these returns, whenever you use reverb or delay, keep them 100% wet. The whole point is, the return is only the effect, not a blend. Also, group your main elements. At least a drums bus, a bass bus, and a music bus. Even if your project is messy right now, do it for this lesson, because sidechaining the return from the drums is going to be one of the biggest This Suddenly Sounds Pro switches. Now we'll build return A, the hero, dub chamber. The device chain order matters because we're designing what goes into the space, how the space behaves, and then how it gets controlled after. So on return A, drop in this exact order: EQ8, saturator, echo, hybrid reverb, auto filter, compressor, and utility. Start with EQ8. This is pre-shaping, and it's non-negotiable for DNB. Turn on a high-pass filter, 24 dB per octave, and put it somewhere around 180 to 250 Hz. The simple rule is to not feed sub into your reverb unless you want mud as a special effect. Most of the time you don't. Then do a quick reality check. If you know your snare is harsh, put a small dip around 3 to 5 kHz, maybe 2 to 4 dB, and then roll off the extreme top a bit, either a gentle shelf or a low pass around 10 to 12 kHz. You're basically telling the room, be darker, be classic, don't compete with hats. Next, saturator. This is where the room starts to feel physical. Set it to analog clip, turn soft clip on, and start the drive around 5 dB. Anywhere from 3 to 8 dB is normal depending on your material. Then compensate the output so you're not being tricked by loudness. Teacher tip: gain staging the return matters more than the preset. If the return chain is being slammed, you get that crunchy hashy high end that sounds like cheap fizz, not vibe. So here's a quick method. Temporarily set the return of fader to 0 dB, put in your typical send amounts, and then adjust the saturator output so the return peaks somewhere around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS when the loudest snare section hits. That's a great working range. Now echo. This is the tempo movement and the ghost rhythm. Turn sync on. For rolling DNB, 3/16 is money. If you want more push, try 1/8 dotted. Feedback around 20 to 35%. Modulation a few percent, slow rate, just to keep it alive. Add a tiny bit of noise and wobble 0.5% to 2%, just enough grime that it feels like hardware, not like a pristine digital repeat. Inside echo's filter section, high pass around 250 to 400 Hz and low pass around 6 to 9 kHz. And the goal here is important. You want to feel taps behind the groove, not hear obvious repeat stepping on your drums. Then hybrid reverb. This is the actual chamber. Choose chamber or room. Set decay around 0.8 to 1.6 seconds. That's the sweet spot for a main, always on dub chamber in DNB. Size around 20 to 45%. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. Pre-delay is your friend, because it keeps the snare transient crisp while the space still exists around it. And here's a DNB specific truth. At 170 to 176 BPM, short decay often reads bigger than you think. So don't chase a huge tail. Chase a convincing space. If you have early / late controls, push toward early if you want boxy, punchy room energy. Push toward late if you want more cloud. Either way, keep it darker. Roll highs in the reverb's tone controls if you can. After the reverb, put auto filter. Low pass, 12 dB slope. Cut off around 6 to 10 kHz. Resonance low. This is the sit down in the mix knob. And later, we'll automate this so builds open up without you turning the return louder. Now the big one. Compressor with sidechain. Turn sidechain on. Choose your drums bus as the input, or at least a kick and snare group. Ratio 4:1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release 80 to 180 milliseconds. Then adjust threshold until you get around 3 to 7 dB of gain reduction when the drums hit. This is the secret sauce for DNB ambience. Without ducking, your groove gets smeared and your drums lose bite. With ducking, the chamber can be huge but it breathes between hits. One coach note, match the pocket, not the numbers. Loop two bars, and sweep the release until the room feels like it exhales in time with your pattern. If it recovers too late, the space feels late. If it recovers too fast, it turns into pumpy EDM. For 174 BPM rollers, you'll often land somewhere that feels like it clears just before the next major snare or hat accent. Finally, utility. Set bass mono somewhere around 150 to 250 HE. Then set width, between 80 and 120% depending on how wide your mix already is. If your whole track is already wide, keep the return closer to 100. Then objective is mono safety and punch. And one more pro tuning move, treat returner like a boss, not a plugin. Throw a spectrum at the end while you tune. You want a gentle hill in the mids and controlled top, not constant energy living above 10 kHE, and not a swamp building up in the 200 to 500 range. If that low mid buildup happens during drops, don't immediately thin it permanently. Instead, do dynamic-ish moves. Automate the auto filter cutoff slightly downward just during the busiest sections. That way the chamber stays vibey when the arrangement is sparse, and controlled when the drums go full attack. Cool! Return A is built. Now return B. Tight drum room. This is not the fancy one. This is glue. The chain is a Q8 into a hybrid reverb into compressor, optional sidechain, then utility. A Q8. High pass 250 to 350 HC. Low pass 10 to 12 KHC. Hybrid reverb. Pick room. Decay 0.3 to 0.7 seconds. Predelay 0 to 10 milliseconds. If you want it extra controlled, sidechain compress it a little from kick and snare. Just 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction. Utility. Width around 90 to 110%. Bass mono around 200 HC. And usage wise, keep it subtle. On a snare, you might be sending to this at minus 18 to minus 12 dB. The goal is space around the snare, not to listen to my reverb. Now return C. Long dub throw. This is for moments only. Think fills, vocal chops, risers, stab one shots. Not constant. Chain is echo, hybrid reverb, saturator, EQ8, limiter, echo, 1/4 or 1/2, feedback 45 to 70%. Ping pong on. Filter it. High pass around 300 HC. Low pass around 6 to 8 KHC. Hybrid reverb. Hauler chamber. Decay 3 to 8 seconds. Predelay 20 to 40 milliseconds. Saturator. 2 to 6 dB drive just to glue the tail and make it feel solid. EQ8. High pass 250 to 400 HC and be ready to tame harshness, often in the 2 to 4 KHC area. Limiter last as a safety net, because with long feedback and long decay, peaks happen fast. And a workflow tip, keep the return C fader lower than you think. It's a special effect, not a bid. Now let's talk about actually using this in a DNB arrangement, because a dub chamber is only powerful if you treat it like performance. For a rolling snare chamber, on your snare track, send to return A around minus 15 to minus 10 dB. Then add a tiny bit of return B as well, like minus 20 to minus 14 dB, just for tight glue. Then automate. Bring the return ascend up 2 to 4 dB going into a drop, or on the last snare before a fill, or at the end of a 16-bar phrase. It should feel like you're throwing the snare into the room, not like the room is permanently loud. For hats, send lightly into return A, maybe minus 22 to minus 16 dB. If hats get fizzy, don't immediately turn the send down. First, lower the echo low pass inside return A to around 6 to 7 kHz. That keeps the motion but removes the cheap sparkle. For bass, do not send the sub. Bullet your bass into sub and mid layers. Send only the mid layer to return A, and automate it only on accents, offbeat stabs, or call and response notes. That's the dub mindset. Not everything gets the room all the time. The room answers. For jungle breaks, return B is your cohesion tool, return A is your occasional air. And sidechain ducking on return it becomes basically mandatory, because busy breaks plus a roomy return equals instant blur, if you don't control it. Now, quick list of the classic mistakes and how to catch them early. Mistake 1. Sending sub into the chamber. You'll hear it as smeary low end and a weak kick. Fixes high pass on the return and disciplined bass layering. Mistake 2. Reverb too bright. Right tails fight hats and make the track feel cheaper. Fix is low pass around 8 to 12 kHz and darker reverb tone. Mistake 3. No sidechain ducking. In DNB, transients are the point. Duck the return from drums. Mistake 4. Overusing long dub throws. Your track becomes fog. Keep long dub for events and transitions. Mistake 5. Too wide in the low mids. That kills mono and punch. Use utility bass mono up to 200 or even 250 Hz on returns. Now for a few advanced upgrades if you want to push it further, still stock only. You can do a pre-reverb slap effect by moving echo before saturator, setting echo very short, like 1/32 to 1/16, with low feedback, 5 to 15%. That creates an early reflection illusion, so the space feels louder even with a shorter decay. You can do an M/S-style return control using an audio effect rack on return A. Make two chains. One chain is mid, set utility width to 0. The other chain is sides, set utility width to 200. Then process them differently. The mid chain darker and more ducked. The sides chain slightly brighter but lower level. You get width without clogging the center where your kick and snare need to live. You can also make the chamber self-damping in a very dub way. Rack echo and map feedback and low pass cutoff to 1 macro, so as feedback increases, the low pass comes down. Classic dub behavior. Longer repeats automatically get darker. And if you want the room to become tonal, add resonators very quietly after hybrid reverb on return A, like 5 to 15% wet, and tune it to your track's root and fifth. Now the space sings along with the tune, which is insane for minimal rollers. Let's lock this in with a quick practice exercise. Build a basic 16-bar roller, kick on 1 and 3, snare on 2 and 4, hats in 8ths or 16ths, plus a Reese mid layer and a separate sub. Set your sends like this, snare to return A at minus 12 dB, and to return B at minus 16 dB, hats to return A at minus 18 dB, Reese mid to return A at minus 20 dB. Then do 3-lead automation moves. At bar 8, raise the snare send to return A by 3 dB for 1 bar. In the last half bar before the drop, throw a vocal chop into return C, just a momentary send spike. During the build, automate return A's auto filter cutoff from about 6 kHz up to about 11 kHz, then snap it back on the drop. Finally, bounce and check mono. And here's the best way to do that. Don't just collapse the whole mix and panic. Solo return A, set utility width to 0%, and listen. If it turns ugly or boxy, your stereo processing is doing too much heavy lifting. Reduce echo stereo width. Reduce hybrid reverb stereo, or raise bass mono on the return. This audio version is shortened for playback.